Please be seated. My name is Sarah Trunet. I have a short story for you. So I've been around St. Thomas for a while, being born and baptized here in 1984. I grew up here. I can remember events, people that aren't around anymore. I've grown up with some of your kids. The past several years, I've felt a pull to become more involved, but hadn't really done anything about it. Well, I asked God, and he answered, and about a year and a half ago, I got the call to be on the discernment committee for a new rector. Nothing like being thrown right into the middle of it. Sink or swim. So since then, I've been becoming more involved, helping where I can. Something I've realized throughout all of this is every person makes a difference. Everyone can make something that's already great even better. This is why, during the stewardship campaign, I want to speak to you about 100% participation. St. Thomas is an amazing community with incredibly hardworking parishioners. The more of us that invest in the St. Thomas, the more amazing it can be. You may think that you won't be missed, your involvement doesn't matter, you know, so why bother, or it's not enough. I can tell you from my experiences in the last year and a half getting more involved that it does matter. It helps. It's important. When we all band together, spectacular things can happen here. For the first time in my life this year, I'm going to be submitting a pledge card. I want to encourage anyone who has never pledged before to do the same. And likewise, I urge everyone who has pledged last year to do so again this year. I can't say enough how important 100% participation in stewardship pledges is. Your commitment ensures that we can continue to support all the missions, the ministries, our outreach, and even our fellowship that we all love. St. Thomas is great, but with 100% participation, it can be spectacular. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How do you notice something when it's missing? Right? Do you remember the last time that you lost a tooth and your tongue kept going to that empty spot in your mouth because something's supposed to be there? This week I spoke with someone who lost her spouse to death this year, and she talked about how as the year keeps on progressing, she keeps coming upon new events, new things to do that he used to take care of, and he did them so well. And so she keeps being brought to notice again and again the absence of her beloved spouse. Sometimes when we're missing something, we might not even notice. Right? I'm not so good at being aware of what my body is doing, so sometimes I might be hungry, or I might be thirsty, or I might be in pain, and I won't even notice or know it until I'm in a room with a bunch of people and I notice, hey, I'm being grumpy or irritable. What's going on? Oh, maybe I haven't eaten since breakfast time. Or maybe my shoulder's hurting. In our gospel reading today, we encounter a young man who's missing something. Right? He approaches Jesus and he says, I hear you teaching about the kingdom of God, about this eternal kind of life. What do I have to do to get there? And Jesus says, well, it's pretty simple, right? You know the Torah. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Honor your father and mother. And the young man says, well, yeah, I know I do all those things because I really want to know God. And yet there's still something missing. And that's when Jesus turns to this young man. And he loves him. He sees what an earnest seeker he is. He says, oh, you're someone after my own heart. And he says, I know what your problem is. I've seen this before. Jesus tells this young man, your hands are too full. Right? Your hands are too full of all your own treasures, your earthly belongings, those things that you've gathered and saved and worked for and you're holding on to. Your hands are too full. There's no room for God to put anything else into them. So, says Jesus, here's what you need to do. You need to go home where you have all those treasures stored up. You need to sell them all. Give the money to the poor. And that way, you'll have treasure in heaven. And then you'll be ready to come follow me. Well, you know how the story goes, right? The young man goes away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus taught this young man something about himself. Right, this man had a blind spot, and Jesus helped him to see it. This young man kept the commandments. He thought he was honoring God, and yet God wasn't first in his life, and he didn't even realize it until Jesus offered this solution for how to figure it out so the man could see what was really most important in his life. Jesus calls him out not to be unkind, but to be helpful, like a surgeon acting with precision. And that's a blind spot that is widely shared among people, right? That's immediately the disciples and Jesus have the same conversation. What's going on there? And Jesus says, it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, some of you, like me, may have heard sermons that talk about this particular gate in Jerusalem, and it's really small, and the camels have to kneel down, and that's totally apocryphal. Right? There's no such thing. Jesus likes hyperbole. We've seen it elsewhere, right? Jesus is talking about a sewing needle and a camel like you might ride on if you were to visit the Holy Land. Here in this season of stewardship, we're talking about a goal of 100% participation, and that means you. Very many of you are faithful to pledge to St. Thomas year after year, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad for you, because when we give primarily in order to draw close to God. Right? I don't think very many of you came here today so that someone could ask you for money. I don't think you came here today because your bed was so uncomfortable and you just had to get out of it and get out into this cold air. Right? I'm guessing that, like me, most of you are here today because you want to be changed. Because you want to grow close to God. Now, we come to church this morning as rich people. Most of us are reasonably well-fed. Many of you are beautifully dressed. And most of us drove here, or were driven, in our magic carriages with four wheels so that we didn't have to break a sweat or touch our tender feet to the road. And so, like the rich young man, we come here with our hands full of treasure, most of us with treasure that young man never could have imagined. And that treasure can be, it isn't necessarily, but it can be a barrier to having treasure in heaven. Or that treasure that we hold in our hands can be a tool, a means for participation in the work that God is doing here at St. Thomas. And so I'm calling out for 100% participation in our pledge drive, because as your priest, my job is to make sure that no one is left out in this work that we're doing of striving to draw close to God. We live in a culture where money talks, right? We live in a culture of the almighty dollar. And in that culture, Christianity is a protest. Right? Christianity says, no, there's something else that's more important. And that is God. And giving in this culture is an indispensable spiritual practice. Giving won't make you a spiritual giant automatically, but if you look at the examples of the saints, you'll see that it is a necessary part of growing in our spiritual lives. And so I can hear you asking, why pledge? Why can't I just give from week to week? Why can't I just give and we'll call it good? Well, you may have heard in the prayers of the people each week a lot of repetition. Right? We don't just pray. If you send in a prayer request, we don't just pray for it once and say, okay, we're good. Right? We keep praying for each of the names on our list for a whole month, unless I hear otherwise from you, in which case we'll add on the name and keep praying, or maybe we'll take it off earlier because you say, oh, that's great, thank you. We keep praying over and over because that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Jesus teaches us to pray just like that insistent widow keeps knocking until she gets justice. Our Book of Common Prayer teaches us to pray with four different forms of prayer for morning, noon, night, and compline. And if you read the noonday prayers right, you split them out into two more. You get six times of prayer per day. Prayer has a cumulative effect, changing us. And that's why we pray over and over. Our hearts are fickle, right? And we start to turn to God. Look at that car. Right? And we start to turn to God. Did you see the stock market this week? We start to turn to God. Politics! Right? There are all these distractions as we strive to turn to God, and yet other things keep grabbing our minds, grabbing our attention. It's the same thing with money. Right? If I have money in my pocket and I don't have a plan for that money makes its own plans. Right? It finds its own way out, and there's something that it really needs to be spent on. That's why we make a plan. That's why we make a budget. That's why we make pledges. A pledge is a statement. It is a written deposition about what we value and what we believe. A pledge is an aspirational statement about what we want to believe and what we want to value and how we're going to get there. A pledge is a written decision that we make one time a year so that we can move on. And we can then practice that decision week to week, month to month, without having to torture our way through it all over again each time. A pledge card is meant to be a tool or a structure that helps make living into the kingdom of God a little bit easier. And so what do we mean when we talk about 100% participation in our pledge drive? That means that if you live in a family where all your money is pooled together and you make decisions as a family about how we're going to spend that money, then probably your whole family together should figure out what to put on a pledge card. If you live in a family where each person has their own account and they decide for themselves what they're going to do with that money, then probably each person needs to decide for themselves what to put on that pledge card. And if you have children, and your children have their own jobs and income, this is the perfect time to start teaching them about giving. Right? I remember the first summer job that I had that I was regularly paid for. I was 16 years old, and I still remember the night that my dad said, hey, come look at this. And he showed me his accounts. And he showed me the ways that he chooses to spend his money and the ways that he chooses to give each month without fail out of his income. And then he challenged me to do the same thing. And that was a formative experience in my life that still shapes how I live. Giving is like prayer in the sense that God is up to something. And God generously invites our voluntary participation in what God is up to. And we can do that in part by giving. Giving is a spiritual discipline, and it's much older even than Christianity, right? There's something rooted deep in human spirituality that knows that giving is a part of spiritual life. It's a proven practice for those who want to grow in their spiritual life. If there's something missing in your spiritual practice, if your spiritual experience isn't everything that you hoped it would be, then it might be wise to stop and make sure you've covered the basics. And among those basics is giving. Sarah pointed out that St. Thomas is a family. right? We're a community. And as a community, we have chosen to live together and to live our faith lives together. And as a community, a part of that living together is in making pledges. Not all churches receive pledges, but that's how we decided to do it here at St. Thomas. We have a long tradition of pledging at St. Thomas. That's one of the ways that we show up when we say, yes, I'm a part of this family, and I want to participate in what's going on here. The vestry of St. Thomas this year has already all turned in their pledge cards. They have made serious, sacrificial, and increasing pledges. Throughout October and November, and hopefully no later than the ingathering at the end of November, we're going to be looking for your pledges to come in. And we're going to be looking for those because without you, St. Thomas will be missing something.